Welcome to our service this morning. Apologies if the technology is slightly different today, and it's that, but hopefully it will all work as we're trying it from inside the church. And I've got Philip Leeson helping me on the technology this morning as I lead worship. I just wanted to say the first thing is I had a message from Donald Burling's brother this morning. Donald has had a fall and is in Northampton General Hospital with a broken shoulder bone or broken collarbone and some cracked ribs, and he's going to be there for a few days apparently. So I just wanted to let everybody who hadn't heard may not have heard that. So let us come to our worship this morning. Let us rejoice in the miracles of Christ. Let us rejoice in eternal life. Let us rejoice in blessed peace. Let us rejoice in sacred forgiveness. Let us rejoice in infinite love. These are miracles of Christ. Let us rejoice. And we're going to begin with the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Father, we come before you so that we might praise and worship you, but our souls are blurred and tarnished. Father, we pray you will forgive our sins, that we may better understand your word, we may better love our neighbours as ourselves, we may better bury our prejudices and biases, we may better serve the needs of our communities, we may better spread the chronicles of Christ's miracles. Father, we ask your forgiveness. Amen. Okay, can Stephanie give us a thumbs up if the sound is still okay, because I've changed microphones. Good, thank you. Okay, the biggest fall. Who is the biggest fall? An ancient kingdom, the king there presented his court jester with a beautiful wand. I give you this trophy, said the king, to symbolize your status as the greatest fool in my kingdom. You are to keep it until you can give it to a greater fool than yourself. The court jester good-naturedly accepted the award. Years later, the king was dying and asked to see the jester. I want to say goodbye, the king said. I'm going on a long journey that will last forever. The jester then asked, what have you done to prepare for this great trip? Nothing whatever, the king replied, since I don't exactly know what to expect from this long journey. There is nothing I can do. To which the jester replied, then take this wand. You are the biggest fool of all. I've got Martin with me, and he's going to come and read.
So the reading is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44, and I'm reading from the Good News Bible. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing Elisha 20 loaves of bread made from the first barley harvest that year, and some freshly cut ears of corn. Elisha told his servant to feed the group of prophets with this, but he answered, do you think there is enough for 100 men? Elisha replied, give it to them to eat, because the Lord says that they will eat and still have some left over. So the servant set the food before them, and as the Lord had said, they all ate, and there were still some left over. Amen.
We're going to sing now, and the hymn we're going to sing is Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Next reading is from John 6, verses 1 to 15. And we have a video presentation of this reading.
Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Now going to have another hymn, a song, "What is Your 5 Loaves and 2 Fishes?"
Was on his way to school. He heard a crowd of people laughing, and he went to take a look. Thousands were listening to the stories of one man. He spoke with such wisdom, even the kids could understand. The hours passed so quickly. Nothing at all. Every single tear I cry is a diamond in his hand. Every door that slams in my face, I'm a rock for a man. So I'll give you every breath that I hold. Oh, you can work miracles. All you need is my amen. So take my five arms into your wishes. Do what fits you. Surrender. Take my feet, my ambitions, all my burdens, my ambitions. You can use it all. What if not too small? I trust in you. Trust in you. So take my five loaves and two fishes. Do with it as you will. I surrender.
Today we're going to think about the man who would not be king. But just before I do that, I just want to say a couple of words, because I think if I'd asked most of you when was a crowd fed with bread and eaten, and then afterwards there was more than enough left over, you would have told me about the feeding of the 5,000. The story in Kings of Elijah, just those few verses where somebody came to him with barley loaves and he told them to take it, to break it, and to feed the crowd there. So there's that early, I'm not sure I can call it an echo, because an echo comes after, doesn't it? What's a pre-echo? It's a prior thought of that message. But in our reading from the Gospel of John, one of the things we can think of in that reading is actually Jesus was there and he broke bread and he fed the crowd. And again, if I'd said to you, when did Jesus break bread and offer it to the people, you would have probably said at the Last Supper. But actually, in John's Gospel, the Lord's Supper does not begin in the upper room on the last night of Jesus' life. It begins earlier on the hill where Jesus broke the bread and fed the crowd of 5,000. And John then brings a tie-in directly into the ministry of Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. Because in this story, the crowd see that he has fed them. They see it as a great banquet. And these, they say, this is the banquet we've been praying for. The coming of the Messiah, they had been expecting there to be a big banquet where they would be fed. And Jesus has just fed us with this bread and this fish as a banquet. And at that point, Jesus realized that they would come and carry him to make him king. So he fled back to the mountain because Jesus was the man who would not be king. All through the gospel, Jesus is trying to help us understand that there is power and pleasure in money and material things. And these things can satisfy our human appetites. But there is only one context in which we can be in touch with the ultimate source of power and pleasure, and that is in the presence of God. Jesus told many parables. One of the parables he told was the pearl of great price. People, the man going to seek the great treasure. And Jesus spoke about finding the kingdom of God in our lives is like finding the great treasure, like finding that great pearl of great price. But to experience the power of God's presence most fully, we must be willing to acknowledge that we are dependent upon him. Paul says that Jesus emptied himself because he trusted totally in God's will, even though it meant the cross. Because of his willingness not to be a king, God then exalted him. We often think, wouldn't it be nice? I suspect most of us, when we were little, had that fantasy either of being a princess or a prince, and or the prince coming along and sweeping us away, and we would live in the castle and we'd have all the servants and everything else. Louis the 14th of France, he said, "I am the state," and he built the most extravagantly lavish palace at Versailles. And this is a picture of the palace at Versailles, all gold and gilt and everything else. He was called the Sun King because of his glittering, decadent reign. Who was a more powerful king than Louis the 14th? He had everything that a man could possibly want, and he lived the life that nobody could tell him he couldn't have anything. If he wanted something, he just had it. When he died, thousands of people came to his funeral, filled the cathedral, and spilled out into the square beyond. When the Bishop of Paris mounted the pulpit to preach the eulogy for the great Sun King, he spoke just four words. He said, "Only God is great." He then left the pulpit to continue the funeral service and the burial of the Sun King. Only God is great, is what the bishop said at the great king's funeral service. Wanting to be king. All of us, in some way, shape, or form, as I said, at some point in our lives, have had that wish. Wouldn't it be great to be king? You know, even from that time when I suspect everybody's had it, when we were complaining bitterly to our parents about the unfairness of life and the having to follow the rules and everything else, and they said, "When you grow up and you have a house of your own, you'll be able to do what you like." I think that's the biggest lie parents tell their children. But that desire to be king It's sort of inside all of us in some way, shape, or form. But Jesus gives us a different goal in the very first of the Beatitudes he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's not those who want to be king, but the poor in spirit. Those who identify their life's meaning and their mission with God's will. Not by wanting to be king of the family, not by wanting to be king of the office, not by wanting to be king of the campus, not by wanting to be king of the church, not by wanting to be the king of the city or the nation. This is very difficult for us as Christians to understand. We're taught it, we listen to it, but it's one of those lessons that we don't actually like to learn. But as Christians, we do have to believe that the only way to attain ultimate enduring power for us is to acknowledge total dependence upon God's power. The problem is that this has no meaning for many of us until we have been hurt exploring all the other possible options. I'm at the end of my rope, we say, and then we begin to examine the possibility of God as the answer. Well, the message I would like you to take away this morning is, don't wait until you are at the end of your rope to draw on the power of God. Draw on it now. Let God release within you the ability to recognize your worthwhileness. The power to reach in you your humanity and to rejoice in your humanity even as you confront suffering and death. The power to be a loving person who brings joy to the world. The power to be a sign of God's resurrection promise. It's not too late if you are at the end of your rope, but don't wait till you are. Turn now. Ask God to bring that power into our lives, his presence into our lives, that we can stand up to the trials and tribulations of our lives, knowing that God is there with us. Christ is walking every step of the way. Christ is feeding us the bread of life. We're going to sing again now, and the song is "The Power of Your Love." Renew, flowing from the grace that I found.
Come to our time of prayer. So let us bow our heads together. Father God, creator of all things, we come before you asking your forgiveness for failing to look to you first. We acknowledge that you are often the last thought when you should be our first thought. And help us to put you in your rightful place and to seek you first in every situation. This morning, we bring our requests before you, asking that you have your way in each and every one. For the world you created, we ask that you would send the needs of those around us and respond as Jesus would. He fed the multitude with such a small amount, and we gave so much, and yet there are so many in need. We pray for the charities and organisations bringing basics like food and water to the needy. We pray for leaders and rulers of nations to give compassion and to have compassion and wisdom. We pray for peace where there is conflict. We pray for the church to stand tall and strong, to be an example of love and compassion. We pray for our nation as the COVID restrictions are lifted. We pray that the vulnerable would be protected and that people would be wise with their new freedoms. We ask for tolerance of others, and again that your church would set the standards, showing the way forward, helping those who are struggling with the changes. Guide the leaders and the decision makers, help the scientists, strengthen the frontline workers, and lead us forward in these days. We pray for those who are on holidays or have holidays planned, that they would be rested and have a good time whilst being safe. We pray for our church. Be with each member as we move forward. Give us patience as the new freedoms come in, and give us wisdom as to how to proceed carefully. We pray for our diaconate as they weigh up the way forward and ask that you would grant them wisdom in the decisions that they may have to make. We bring those who are sick before you and ask that you would touch them with your healing hands. Bring peace and calm where there may be worry, and love where the loneliness is present. Lead us forward, looking to you, reaching out to you, and trusting you. Amen. And now together we will say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to finish our service by singing the song, You Shall Go Out with Joy. You came asking for peace. You have been given peace. You came asking for forgiveness. You have been forgiven. Go forth now as peacemakers and reconcilers. And please unmute yourselves so that we can say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.
We made it.
Well done.
Yeah. Good morning. I hope everybody enjoyed the service and that the change in the way we were doing the technology didn't detract from the service, but it's good to see you here all this morning. Just the notices as we usually do. Let me just say that there is the prayer on Wednesday and Friday at 11, and there is the Zoom service next Sunday at 11 as usual. But Trevor, I think we've got pastures next Sunday morning.
Yes, we are meeting at the pastures next Sunday morning. It'll be a locally resourced worship service. If There is no restriction on numbers now within the obvious limits of the building, which I'm sure we won't reach. But if anybody does want to come, it would be helpful if you could let Catherine Jones have your name so that we've got some idea who to expect. But having said that, nobody will be refused entry if they turn up on the day. So the welcome is to all.
Masks. Okay, and Lois, I think you've got a notice about something.
Yes, we haven't been able to have the Christian Aid coffee morning for 2 years now, but we are going to do a very slimmed down version on the Sunday afternoons, three Sunday afternoons in August. So that's on the 1st, the 8th, and the 15th, the first three Sundays in August, from 2 o'clock till 4:30 in our garden. So if it rains, it'll be cancelled, but hopefully it won't. And there will be refreshments, again, slimmed down, but there will be refreshments. So please come and just meet up with friends, socially distanced, and enjoy yourselves.
Thank you. Thank you.
Adrian, that's
Stu. There's a bit of a hum.
Adrian.
Can't hear. It doesn't do the hoovering, doesn't it?
Well, that is the man's job, isn't it? They have to do the hoovering.
That's probably my fan.
I don't even know how to switch the hoover on.
Anyway, you don't mind. I think he's going.
Not hear me because I've got my microphone turned off, that's why. In which case, let's all go and enjoy the rest of the night. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Adrian.
Very well, thank you.
See you soon.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Bless everyone.
Bye, Daniel.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We're off leave. Yeah. Press leave, or we'll never go.
Oh, lovely.